Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 So reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 6, Text 5. Narada Upacha Bhikshubhir Vipravasite Bhikshubhir Vipravasite Vijnanate Strittabhir Mama
Vijnanate Strittabhir Mama
Vartamano vyavyas adye Tata etad akakshrasham Nararubhacha Bhikshubhi vipravasite Vijnana distrabhir mama Vartamano vyavyasyadhe Tata etad akarsrasham Narada uvacha Sri Narada said, Bhikshubhi, by the great sages, Viprabhasite, having departed for other places, Vijnana, scientific spiritual knowledge, Adristabir,
those who imparted unto me,
Mama, mine, Vartamana,
present.
Vayasi adhyay,
before this life,
tata, thereafter,
etat,
this much,
akarasham,
performed.
Perform.
Translation. Sri Narad said, the great sages who had imparted scientific knowledge of transcendence to me departed for other places, and I had to pass my life in this way. Translation responsively. Sri Narada said,
the great sages
who had imparted scientific knowledge,
of transcendence to me,
departed for other places,
and I had to pass my life in this way.
Purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. In his previous life, when Narada was impregnated with spiritual knowledge by the grace of the great sages, there was a tangible change in his life. Although he was only a boy of 5 years, this is an important symptom visible after initiation by a bona fide spiritual master. Actual association of devotees brings about a quick change in life for spiritual realization. How it so acted upon the previous life of Sri Narada Muni is described by and by in this chapter. Omagyana timiranda shyaganjana shalakaya chakshuram militam yena tasmai shri guruve namaha nama om vishnupadaya krishnapastaya bhutale shrimati hridayananda goswami iti namine nama om vishnupadaya krishnapastaya bhutale shrimati bhaktivedanta swami iti namine Namaste Saraswati Devam Gauravani Pacharane Nevisesi Shunivari Prashachate Sitarane Shri Krishna Jaitanya Prabhu Nichananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasari Gaura Bhakti Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So Narada says, the great sages who had imparted scientific knowledge of transcendence to me departed for other places, and I had to pass my life in this way. So it's an interesting thing that Prabhupada mentions here in the purport, where Naradaji was impregnated with spiritual knowledge. This word impregnated is quite an interesting word, and I looked it up in the dictionary. And the dictionary meaning of impregnated is to make pregnant, to get with a young child, to fertilize, to cause to be infused, to furnish with an element of infused or introduction. So the sages impregnated the spiritual knowledge into Narada. So there's an infusion or a placement, and then a slow change happens. So this is much the same as when a lady is impregnated and then a child, that personality changes because she's then carrying a child. And she's no longer the same person that she was. So it is when we're impregnated with divine knowledge through the process of the Gaudiya Vaishnava tradition, where we actually are able to take spiritual initiation from a bona fide spiritual master. He actually impregnates us with spiritual knowledge. He plants the seed. And this divine knowledge will forever change a person. When you have this impregnation of initiation, you're forever changed. And it's a tangible change in one's life. It is one of the most dramatic changes that can happen to an individual when they actually have spiritual realization infused by the spiritual master. I think we're all understanding of this quality when you actually completely surrender to the spiritual master and he actually gives you that understanding for spiritual life from there on in. And what happens is that at one stage we're living the lives of basically animalistic life. Without spirituality in our life, it's more or less an animalistic life that we lead. Eating, sleeping, mating, defending. Prabhupada puts it down to polished cats and dogs. So we have the materialist who is well educated in the art of eating, sleeping, mating and defending. They can eat very nicely, they have wonderful restaurants, and there's so many various TV shows now on television where they show you how to cook all manner of different things. And it's simply eating, you know, and how better you can prepare it on the plate. You have a great big plate, and then there's a little bit of a potato and a little bit of, and it's all dressed up very nicely. And then they get some sauce and they go, whee, all over that. Well, if it was presented, like if we present prasadam like that, I don't think too many people would be satisfied. We like a nice big plate of sabji and halva. Anyway, you know, so the eating propensity is there and they refine that eating propensity. Sleeping propensity, they get beautiful beds, water beds and different types of beds and foam that actually encompasses your body and has an imprint, and there's ones that have got dials on the end so you can sleep nicely and your head is just the right way and your body's like this. Sleeping, mating, well, what can we say about mating? They've considered every possibility as far as that's concerned. Eating, sleeping, mating and defending. Atomic bombs, the greatest nuclear weapons, protection, we can somehow protect our citizens. So when we become actual devotees, when we surrender to the spiritual master, when we start being infused by this spiritual knowledge, we actually become human. Because a human being, when we have independence, when we have free will, when we have intelligence, spiritual intelligence, we are actually meant to serve Krishna. That's what the whole purpose of being a human being is about. We are here to serve Krishna. Not our material senses, but we're here to serve Krishna. So the next thing that's discussed is that this mercy, this grace of the great sages or the bona fide spiritual teachers or mentors, whether they're male or female, there are great mentors and great teachers throughout history, all throughout the Vedic history and Western history, great spiritual teachers. And that would be a person who's following the previous guru or the parampara. What is a guru? People sometimes, and especially in this day and age, people are trying to find out what is a real guru. And a guru is simply someone that's following the Shastric injunctions correctly and following the regulative principles. And is 100% engaged in serving Krishna. Day in, day out. Prabhupada says 24 hours engaged. Always serving Krishna. They are learned in the Vedas and in the scriptures. Very learned in the scriptures. As well as having a broad understanding of the age that they're living in. The time and place. And understanding how he or she can present the philosophy to the masses in a particular age. So this is the spiritual master, this is the spiritual teacher. It's also mentioned in the purport the importance of association with devotees. And a quote from that is, "The association of devotees brings about quick change in life for spiritual realization." Now, we all, when we came to Krishna consciousness, it's amazing how quickly we actually changed. And in some ways, and this was all due by the association of devotees, and in some ways, the association of the devotees is as important as the association with Guru, and in some instances, even more important. Because the devotees we're in contact with every single day, and in every way, as I was mentioning in the last class that I gave last Saturday about friendship and developing friendships with one another, this association with devotees is of the utmost importance. When one moves to devotional service in one's life, we model ourselves to the immediate devotees that are around us. We model ourselves because we're attracted by them. We want to wear the clothes that the devotees wear. We want to eat the way they do. We want to bathe. When we came to Krishna consciousness, it was like a whole new world opened up for us. Oh, you wear those dhotis? How do you put the dhotis on? I want to wear a dhoti. What to speak of the underwear, for men anyway, it's like a whole other thing. You wear that? It's like copas. It's an interesting science. And saris, ladies wanting to wear a sari, and so often it's, how do you put that? Is it this pleat over here, and do you tie the knot, or do you pin it, or do you wrap it, and how do you keep it from falling off your head? But we want to be like our friends, our associates. And so we have to be shown. And this happens very, very quickly. Once we came to Krishna consciousness, we just wanted to go the whole hog. And we wanted to shave up. And in the 70s, everybody had long hair. Remember Hari Bhakti? Everybody had long hair and beards and everything. Bhakta Bird had a beard. And there's a photo of me swinging Radha Krishna deities with a beard. I had shorter hair, but at one stage I had long hair. But to shave one's head in those days was just like, oh, it was unheard of. Absolutely unheard of. But we wanted to be like our associates. We wanted to associate with the devotees. So off went the hair. Each one of us took turns in buzzing up, shaving up. And the devotees also, the ladies also wanted to dress like devotees. So as we model ourselves on those that live genuine lives, the genuine spiritual life, we wanted to learn how to bathe properly. We had no idea what it meant to be suci. You know, that after you eat something, you wash. Before you eat something, you wash. When you go to the toilet, you have a shower. It's, you know, it was just unheard of. And it was so incredibly unique to us. But we, because of associates, we wanted to do this. We wanted to know how to eat. You know, we were always so used to forks and knives and this whole English system with the fork this way and the knife and eating, you know. And when we became in the association of devotees, oh Prabhu, you just eat with your fingers. I used to get smacked on the hand by my father if I dared pick up something with my hands. But actually through Vedic culture we actually know that by eating with your hands it's actually very healthy for you. If your hands are washed and you eat with your fingers and your hands, there are enzymes in your fingers that help you digest your food. This is Vedic. This is natural. This is normal. And so when we eat like that, it's actually beneficial. So we learn these things because of our association. And I was always fascinated when I saw the devotees when I first came, the way they used to eat so elegantly. You used to watch Korma eating and he had his little pinky up and he would eat them. Far out, I want to do that, you know. But one thing that I still to this day have trouble with, and I admired the associates that I dealt with, was when they used to be able to get a cup and just go and pour it in their mouth. Every time I did it, that's why if you notice, if I take a drink, I just drink normally. Because every time I did it, we went. But we wanted to do the things that our associates did. We wanted to speak the way our associates did. And a lot of people, even today, You know, because a lot of the people when we were first coming to Krishna consciousness were Prabhupada disciples. And they would speak like Prabhupada. This we are doing, you know. And all these different Indian mannerisms. And they would even wobble their heads. And they're Western people. And they would follow in the association of other devotees. So now, nowadays also, you probably emulate some of the different mannerisms that your Guru Maharaj has. So, as we, and we model ourselves on those who live genuine spiritual lives. It was because this spiritual life was attractive to us. We are attracted to what they have. They have spiritual realization, and we were attracted to that. We wanted that. They were, in our eyes, advanced. They were closer to Krishna, and we wanted that. We wanted to become closer to Krishna. We understand that they may not be perfect, but we admired them and emulated them. I remember in particular some devotees that were very, very dear to me and whom I watched like a hawk. In particular was Bhagavadasraya. Remember Bhagavadasraya? Very dear devotee, and he was one of the persons that I really... He was my hero, you know, I really looked up to him. And the way he approached us, the way he dealt with us, the way he would be Krishna conscious in his attitude, I emulated that person. Other people were Kauramadas, in his cooking, in his Shastric knowledge, in the way he led Kirtan, the way he did the deity worship. To me, he was my hero. I just wanted to model myself after him. And then Balaram. Balaram, in the early days, there was a temple president here. I modeled myself after him. The way he dealt with devotees, the way he was managerially very astute and dealt with the finances, and then especially when he was preaching to school groups and to the broader community. He had a very unique technique of winning people over. Lord Chaitanya said that a teacher should behave properly even before beginning to teach. One who teaches in that way is called an acharya. So in essence, we are all acharyas. We are all teachers, or the ideal teacher. Therefore, a teacher must follow the principles of Shastra to reach a common man. The teacher cannot manufacture rules against the principles of revealed scriptures. So they follow diligently the teachings that they've been taught. And so this is the Parampara system, following on. The revealed scriptures like the Manusamhita and similar others are considered to be the standard books to be followed by human society. So there are codes. Remember last week we were talking about the codes of devotional service. They are there, the scriptures are there to guide us and direct us. Thus a leader's teaching should be based on the principles of the standard rules as they are practiced by the great teachers. The Srimad Bhagavatam also affirms that one should follow in the footsteps of great devotees. And that is the way of progress on the path of spiritual realization. A king or an executive head of state, the father or mother, the school teachers, are considered to be the natural leaders of the innocent people in society. So they are the teachers. All such natural leaders have a great responsibility to their dependents. Therefore, they must be conversant with standard books of moral and spiritual code. So if you are a teacher, if you are a parent, you have to know what human life is about and what are the rules and regulations of human life. And when you know those rules and when you know the standards, then quick changes lead to spiritual satisfaction. When you come to Krishna consciousness, your changes happen immediately. I remember personally when I first came to Krishna consciousness, prior to Krishna consciousness, there was so much confusion. So much confusion. Even I went to different teachings and different learning from different spiritual teachers. Still, there was so much confusion. Is this the right path? Am I really connecting with God? What is Guru? So on and so forth. It was only when I came to Krishna consciousness that all that was relieved. All that ignorance was liberated, freed up. And I honestly can tell you, when I took initiation, and we all have that experience when we take spiritual initiation, it's like a freeing. It's like a cleansing. It's like a, wow, now I can go ahead in my spiritual sojourn. You're saved. You know how the Christians sort of say that. You're saved. Well, we are. We're saved. When we take spiritual instruction from the spiritual master, when we take initiation, then we become free. Now, in hard times, when we're attested in our Krishna consciousness, because that will happen, these spiritual realizations and those changes that we've made in our lives keep us firmly fixed in our devotion. So all those things, is, even though you may think, you know, putting on a dhoti, putting on a sari, putting on tilak, how to bathe, how to eat, they're all superfluous things, but they're not. It's all those different things that keep you solid in your devotional service, in a sense. In a sense that when these hard times actually happen, there is no way that you would go back to that ignorant life that you once had. You know, as much as there's a pressing, as much as there's a pull to go, let's leave Krishna consciousness because I'm going through a hard time, there is no way, if you have a clear understanding, a clear remembrance of what you were prior to being a devotee, there is no way you'd want to go back to that ignorance, to that confusion, to that state of consciousness. Even when the greatest difficulty of all took place in my life, when my spiritual master fell down and there was no longer, and he was no longer suitable to be my spiritual mentor due to him not following the proper spiritual practices, my connection with Lord Krishna, Srila Prabhupada and the Hare Krishna movement didn't change. It didn't change. Now, with the events that's happened over the past couple of weeks, those sort of thoughts come back at the time when we had to confront this great hardship in our lives. It is something that is concerning all of us and something within our movement that we have to be aware of. I could have left Krishna consciousness there and then when my spiritual master left. But I didn't. I chose, because of good association, to stay. And that choice actually increased my spiritual realization and opened the door to greater grace and association by making that choice. I remember specifically when it happened. When it happened, every ounce of feeling in my body was saying, get the hell out of here. You've been cheated. Get out of here. But then there was Prabhupada's voice within saying, no, stay. You came for me, stay. And by actually battling through that hard time, I managed to develop greater spiritual realization, greater association, greater friendships with advanced devotees and shiksha from so many other great Vaishnavas, in particular my spiritual master now, Ridhananda Maharaj, who gives me great strength and solace. But to lose one's spiritual master, as is what's happened at the present stage again, is a tragedy. It's a very sad event. It's like a death of a loved one. And it's actually even more so. But we have to battle through this, and we have to have that association of devotees to go through it. There are some steps to take to overcome a death like this in the family. First of all, we have to have a time to grieve. Some devotees, even though you may not be affected, you may say, well, it wasn't my spiritual master. You know, I'm okay. But the thing is, in the back of your mind, there's always, wow, this has happened. This could happen to my spiritual master. Let me keep him safe and follow clearly. So the thing is, it affects all of us as a community that this has happened, and there's a grieving, there's a sad time. There's an anger. Some people have anger, and some people are sad, some people are grieving, and you have to allow time for that. So if we're consoling devotees that are going through this, we have to be very gentle with them, allow time to grieve, allow time to be sad. We felt at that time a great emptiness, like somebody had pulled the rug from underneath you because you've dedicated your life to a particular person and then all of a sudden they're not there. So you felt a great emptiness. We had to take care of ourselves. We had to take stock of ourselves. And like Prabhupada says, in the end we have to fly our own plane. You know, there's no one to hold your hand at the final stage of your life. So the spiritual master can help you, but in the end we have to become resilient and independent as well. What we also felt we needed at that time was we needed to accept the help of others. We very much needed to accept the help of others. And so many great Vaishnavas stepped up to actually help us through those difficult times. people like Tamal Krishna Maharaj at that time. Other people were Jayapataka Swami, were there to console us and to help us through those difficult times. So there's always devotees that will help us get through these hard times. We had to deal with guilt. We had to deal with guilt. And I've already heard some devotees say, well, it's our sinful reactions that my spiritual master's fallen away. We shouldn't think like that. We can understand perhaps that may be the case, but we are in no position to start judging. Is it, you know, some devotees become very guilty and feel guilty. It was me, it was my fall downs that he fell away. We shouldn't think like that. Somehow or other this has happened. It's something that the spiritual master had to deal with and we have to deal with. So, we have to deal with that guilt and get on with our Krishna consciousness. We have to rely on Krishna. And because of our change that's happened to us, our spiritual realization, in dealing with the deities, our deity worship becomes very much important. Our service, whatever service has been given to us, is very, very important. We have to really make an effort to meditate in our rounds, to really make those rounds effective and call out to Krishna. And we have to rely on Srila Prabhupada, who never lets us down. Who never lets us down. Prabhupada was a perfect example. He will never, ever let us down. And as I said, when that final cruncher came for me, it was Prabhupada that said, you came for me. You came for my teachings, my vani, the instructions in Prabhupada's books. They're all there for us. And so we have to follow that and rely on Prabhupada, the grandfather guru. He will help us through. So there's an ancient biblical statement. Man must not live by bread alone, but by every utterance coming from Jehovah's mouth. That's Matthew 4:4. And in the same way, in the Gaudiya Vaishnava tradition, Krishna, God, speaks to us through the sacred shastras, like the Bhagavatam, the Bhagavad Gita, the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Nectar of Instruction, so many things. And these utterances are for our spiritual nourishment, to nourish us, to let us grow. We have to make an effort to connect with the shastras regularly by reading them. By reading them. And thus we'll become nourished. That's our real spiritual nourishment. You know, at that time when that great calamity happened in our life, it was those devotees that really were conversant with the scriptures that were able to maintain their connection with Krishna consciousness. Those people that felt that it wasn't that important to read the shastras were easy prey to say, oh, well, I'm giving it all up. So this reading, this connection with shastra is so important. And I know that some gurus and some teachers advocate that we should at least read an hour a day of Prabhupada's books. That is absolutely an imperative. As important as it is that we chant our 16 rounds, it is also so important that we read every day. And we read, not just read parrot fashion, that we actually study Prabhupada's books. We actually get to the crux of it. We actually really analyse it. This is what's required of us. This is what's incumbent upon us. You know, that we don't just take it whimsically, that we really delve deeply into these scriptures. And they're there. Prabhupada has given them for us. You know, sometimes the devotees were asked Prabhupada, you know, you wrote these books for the general masses. He said, no, not really. I wrote these books for my disciples. That's the instructions are there for us. And if you're very conversant with those instructions, when you're very conversant with the shastras, they will hold you in Krishna consciousness. You won't be swayed by any false philosophies or by the mind or by material attraction. You have to delve deeply into these books. And when we're hearing from the sage, because when you do that, you're hearing from Krishna himself, from the sages and saints that the stories are all about. Like here with Narad Muni, who was the great saint, great saintly person. At 5 years old, he was getting this in spiritual impregnation. He was so surcharged. He became the spiritual master of such great souls as Vyasadeva. You know, wonderful personality. So we read about his pastimes. And by reading about his pastimes, this is not just a fantasy. This is not just a novel that we pick up, you know, Indiana Jones or something, and you have this vision of Indiana Jones or James Bond or something. This is a real personality. This is a personality, and their instruction is infusing you, impregnating you. So when you read these scriptures, it's not that it's just, oh, this is a pretty far out story. No, what that spiritual saintly person is doing is infusing you, pumping you with spiritual knowledge, increasing your awareness of who you really are. So it's important, and that will bring a quick change in your spiritual realization. It's amazing, you know, we've been in the movement for quite some time, and you see when a person first comes, and they're pretty ignorant, you know, and they're all really awkward and this thing and that thing, but then, like say Hari Bhakti and myself, we see somebody that you haven't seen for about 5 years, just like when you saw Bhaktimandis just before, you know. It's like they've developed so much spiritual potency. And you say, my God, have you advanced? You know? And it's such an upliftment that you've had some input in that. You know, that you've had an opportunity to help in that. So it is, as you get older in Krishna consciousness, when you see young people rising to Krishna consciousness, it's a very fulfilling experience. Wouldn't you say, Hari Bhakti? It's a very fulfilling experience. So we have to make an effort to actually associate with other devotees. It is especially important that we associate. And there's a verse that I often quote, and that's the Bhagavad Gita 10.9. Machita matgata prana bodhiyantas parasparam katiyantas chamam nicham tushanti cha ramanti cha. We have to, Krishna says, the thoughts of my pure devotees dwell in me. Their lives are surrendered to me, and they derive great satisfaction and bliss in enlightening one another and conversing about me. So this is the importance of association. We're talking about Krishna. And not only talking about Krishna, but also talking about how can we push on Krishna consciousness? How can we develop Krishna consciousness? And, you know, this is an ad. We've got Rath Yatra coming up, you know, in 4 weeks' time. So how can we infuse people? How can we impregnate people with Krishna consciousness? Well, the Lord is helping out. He's coming off the altar and saying, come on, let's get out there, let's fight, let's bring this Krishna consciousness to the masses. He's coming in his cart, and we're all going to get an opportunity to pull the cart. And we're encouraging so many of our friends to also pull the rope of the Rath Yatra cart. Now, if you have colleagues, work colleagues, friends, associates, get them to come. Get them to come to this Rath Yatra festival. This will encourage them. This will spur on their spiritual life. We need each and every one of us to be really involved in this major preaching event. You know, Janmashtami is a wonderful time. Gaur Purnima is a wonderful time. But in a sense, it's an in-house wonderful time. And it's a great spiritual thing. But this is an out-of-house spiritual. We are taking the temple out to the masses. It is so much so that we're dragging the temple through the streets of Melbourne, allowing people to actually pull the ropes, to stand up before the Lord. And you know what happens? The Shastras say that if a person simply stands or sees the Lord or pulls the ropes, their spiritual life is guaranteed. No more animalistic tendencies. They will slowly come to Krishna consciousness. This is the secret weapon. The Lord, by his big eyes and big smile, is infusing, is impregnating spiritual bliss. People will become enamored and just want to be part of it. And then it's our job to now, how can we also be a good example and show them the thrill that it means to be a devotee. And so thereby we have all the different tents. We're doing far more preaching programs this time. We've got some wonderful things that we're hoping to do. Of course, there'll be delicious prasadam served to people. There'll be free watermelon again, Tirthapad. Went through 2 tons of watermelon last year and people loved it. People still talk about the watermelon. Oh, that was such nice watermelon. It's just watermelon, but it was offered to Krishna. You know, you got free watermelon. Wow, how could you do that? 2 tons of watermelon. We did the face painting and the henna. And so many people love just that contact. Again, that touching of a devotee. Devotees have an opportunity to
get out there and meet people.
We've got some fantastic kirtan. Kirtan here is going to be performing on the stage. And we're setting up a preaching store, which is one area, in hindsight, that we want to develop better this year. Last year, our preaching efforts weren't, the book distribution wasn't as good as what it could have been. And we have to start thinking out of the box. And so what we're doing this year is we're doing 8 panels depicting various aspects of Krishna consciousness. Very pictorial. They're about 700 mil by meter panels, which we'll also use for the Sunday Feast program. And then on them they'll have headers like peace, and what Krishna consciousness feels about peace, science, reincarnation, knowledge, relationships, all these things that mean something to people in this world. And so they're very pictorial and simple little catchphrases from Bhagavad Gita and different things, vegetarianism. And what we're going to have is devotees stationed near these panels. And when people come up and have a read, then they can say, "Oh, are you interested in peace?" "Yes, I am. It's a thing that I'm..." And we get an opportunity to present Krishna consciousness in that way. So the preaching emphasis is going to be a fundamental point in the next Rath Yatra festival. And we need everybody on board to help with that. So this is really good. So as it was, the purport to this, Thoughts of My Pure Devotees Dwell in Me, I just wanted to read this out because it's pertinent to what we're discussing today. Pure devotees whose characteristics are mentioned here engage themselves fully in transcendental loving service of the Lord. Their minds cannot be diverted from the lotus feet of Krishna. This is our task. Our minds cannot be diverted from the lotus feet of Krishna. Their talks are solely on transcendental subjects. The symptoms of a pure devotee are described in this verse specifically. Devotees of the Supreme Lord are 24 hours daily engaged in glorifying the pastimes of the Lord. Their hearts and souls are constantly submerged in Krishna, and they take great pleasure in discussing him with other devotees. In the preliminary stages of devotional service, they relish the transcendental pleasure, that service of itself. And in the mature stage, they are actually situated in love of God. Once situated in the transcendental position, they can relish the highest perfection which is exhibited by the Lord in his abode. Lord Chaitanya likened transcendental devotional service to the sowing of a seed in the heart of the living entity. And here we have that same point again, that sowing of the seed, that impregnation that the spiritual master does. There are innumerable living entities throughout the different planets of the universe, and out of them there are a few who are fortunate enough to meet a pure devotee and get the chance to understand devotional service. Anyone that comes in contact with one of Srila Prabhupada's books has contact with a pure devotee. So it is incumbent upon us to actually present Prabhupada's books to as many people as we can, and do it in a way that people will relish it, will accept it. This devotional service is like a seed, and if it is sown in the heart of a living entity, and if it goes on hearing and chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Krishna, Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, the seed fructifies, just as the seed of a tree fructifies with regular watering. The spiritual plant of devotional service gradually grows and grows until it penetrates the covering of the material universe and enters the Brahmajyoti, effulgence in the spiritual sky. In the spiritual sky also, the plant grows more and more until it reaches the highest planet, which is Goloka Vrindavan, the supreme planet of Krishna. Ultimately, the plant takes shelter under the lotus feet of Krishna and rests there. Gradually, as the plant grows fruits and flowers, that plant of devotional service also produces fruits, and the watering process in the form of chanting and hearing goes on. It will go on and on and on. This plant of devotional service is fully described in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. It is explained there that when the complete plant takes shelter under the lotus feet of the Lord, one becomes fully absorbed in love of God. Then he cannot live even a moment without being in contact with the Supreme Lord, just as a fish cannot live out of water. In such a state, a devotee actually attains the transcendental qualities in contact with the Supreme Lord. The Srimad Bhagavatam is also full of such narrations about relationships with the Supreme Lord and his devotees. Therefore, the Srimad Bhagavatam is very dear to the devotees, and in this narration there is nothing about material activities, sense gratification or liberation. Srimad Bhagavatam is the only narration in which the transcendental nature of the Supreme Lord and his devotees are fully described. Thus, the realized soul in Krishna consciousness takes continual pleasure in hearing such transcendental literatures, just as a boy and a girl take pleasure in association. So it's as vibrant and as ever fresh as that early relationships that we had as boyfriend and girlfriend. Prabhupada makes this as an example. So that it's fun. It's not stodgy. It's not old hat. It's actually fun to actually endeavor and find these different nuances in the scriptures. And that is done with the association of devotees. We have examples of Narottam Das Thakur, who was always hankering for his godbrother Ramchandra. You know, in the scriptures you hear about Narottam Das Thakur, where he was constantly wanting to have the association of his godbrother Ramchandra. And then there's other, in the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya, you had Rupa Goswami and Haridas Thakur, who were friends because they had the same sort of mentality. They only wanted to serve Lord Chaitanya. And they were the deepest of friends. The six Goswamis sharing their Krishna consciousness realization between them. So this imparting of spiritual knowledge is a science, is scientific. And if it's scientific, there's a theory and there's a practical. In science, there's the theory and the practice. So in Krishna consciousness, we read the theory, but we have to put it into practice as well. And that is with that association. So it's imperative to carry us through these difficult times when they come. And believe me, they will come to all of us, maybe not to the same extent as I've mentioned here today. I pray that that never happens. But if it does, it is your association and your dedication to Krishna consciousness and your dedication to reading Prabhupada's books that will keep you firmly fixed. Whatever happens. Whatever happens. So I'll stop here, and the translation was again. Sri Narayan said, "The great sages who had imparted scientific knowledge of transcendence to me departed for other places, and I had to pass my life in this way." Any comments or questions at all, Prabhu? Yeah, Prabhu. Oh God, that's not fair. It's one of the Goswamis. Anybody else know anything? Do you know something about them? Yeah. Yes, Prabhu? Yeah. Gopal Bhatta Goswami. I should have checked on the calendar. Anyway, we get to hear from Prabhu. Mahatma Ji Ki Jai.
Gopal Bhatta Goswami is one of the six Goswamis, as we all know, and one of the most advanced devotees. And he was born in 1593. And when he was 7 years old, Lord Chaitanya went to see Sri Rangam Temple. And that's how he associated with the three brothers. He was son of Venkat Bhatta. Venkat Bhatta is father, and he had two brothers, all three brothers. And Gopal Bhatta Goswami was serving very intimately with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Well, Mahaprabhu stayed there for 4 months with Venkat Bhatta at his house. So he had a very association, very intimate association. And when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was leaving, then he cried very, very, very bitterly. So Mahaprabhu had to stay another 10 days. So this was the intimacy with him. Lord, how we can serve Krishna, as what you have mentioned.
Association, yeah.
Each and every point is so important. For example, I'll give you an example. I was reading yesterday that book, Bhakti Purushottam Swami, Jagannath.
Yeah, yeah.
Such a lovely book. Everybody should read. It is less than 150 pages. And you can finish it over 5 hours. Such a nice. So that's how we have to come in contact with Prabhupada books. And if we associate the pure devotees like Gopal Bhatta Goswami, we'll know much more. Now, I'll tell you another instance. So, Gopal Bhatta
to get in.
Now, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left, he was in great pain. So Mahaprabhu gave him a dream that all right, when your parents pass away, then you can come and join me in Mayapur.
Uh-huh.
So that's what he did, and he served his parents when he was 30 years old, and both the parents went away. Then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sent instruction, all right, go to Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, and serve them in Vrindavan. So that's how he came to Vrindavan. And then he was, of course, he was very well trained by Govardhan Govardhan Goswami in South. So he was well trained in the Sanskrit and the languages and so many things. So he was fully trained. Now when he started serving them, then he had a desire to go to Gandaki River and get some ghees. So when he reached there, he got 12 ghees.
How many?
Twelve. And he used to carry them in his neck, in a bag, all the time. When he reached back, he went walking all the way from Vrindavan to India and Nepal. And then he got those. And when he came back to Vrindavan, he realized that he was not really qualified to worship them. So this disturbed him too much. So he went back to Gandaki again on foot. You know how difficult it is to go that path. So you drop them in Gandaki River. But when he started dropping those small deities, they all came back to him. They won't leave him. So he said, this is Krishna's mercy that Krishna, I cannot leave the deity. Krishna wants me to take with me. So then he said, all right, if Krishna thinks I am qualified, then I take them back. So he went back to Vrindavan and started worshipping them. Now, but once it so happened that one merchant gave a lot of silk and a lot of paraphernalia for deity worship. So he said that these deities are so small, how can I use these deities for worshipping? So he just kept those things in front of the small deity and slept. So next morning what happened, that one of the deities became 12 inch Rama. So he called him Radha Rama. So now you can also go there and see this temple. Radha Rama is small silver deity.
That's right.
And Radha Rama is 12 inch deity. And such a nice worship they do all over in the Radha Rama temple. You all have to go and see there. Now, and then this is the main story about the Gopala Goswami. Thank you very much.
Gopala Goswami ki. Thank you very much, Mahatma Prabhu. Any other comments or questions at all, Prabhu? Srila Prabhupada ki.